Begin the current daven Sechtes Chun Daf Kuf Mem. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Yamid. But the Gemara continues exploring the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak, who was explaining the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the topic of this parak of our Mishnah of Shiluach HaKein, the obligation of sending away the mother bird from the chicks that he wants to take. So the Mishnah said that the halacha only applies by kosher birds, but by non-kosher species there's no obligation. What's the reason? So Rabbi Yitzchak says because the wording in the pasuk is, it says tzipur. And we only find the terminology of tzipur by kosher birds, which the Gemara was asking, continues to ask from different sukkim that seem to indicate that the word tzipur seems to connote even a non-kosher bird. Tashma says, the Gemara, let's bring a raya from a pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk says, called tzipur taira, every kosher bird, teichelu, says the pasuk there, you can eat it. Now, mechlal d'ikat tamei, the inference is that the word tzipur also encompasses non-kosher birds, because if temeim, which that's the word used for non-kosher birds, are not included in the word tzipur, so then it should have just said, kol tzipur techelu. All tzipurim, which is only kosher, could be eaten. Why does it say tahira? Says Gemara Leino. We could say that actually tzipur only includes tahirim, kosher birds. Now, this that it says tahira, what do I have to say tahira then? That's not to exclude temeya, but rather it's to exclude that which is forbidden, but from the category of tahirim. Mechlal de'ika asura. The inference is that there are those that are tzipur that are going to actually be forbidden, which is even from the kosher species, there's going to be one that's going to be prohibited to eat. So mahi, what is that? What's from a kosher species that's prohibited to be eaten? E-trefa, everything it's referring to a trefa, which is a kosher species, but has a mortal defect, and that's why the common usage of trefa is that you can't eat it, but it's a kosher species. Says the Gemara, but behediksiv. The pasuk explicitly really tells us elsewhere that you can't eat it. In Bayikach of Beis, it says, Nevelu trefa lo yichlu tamaba. You can't eat a trefa, which actually that pasuk is talking about by an iftar, a kosher bird, but as a trefa, as the Brisa says in Teres Kayanim, which that's saying that when it says latamaba, it actually contaminates a person, which is unique by an iftar, that when it's a nevela or trefa, in bebeis habliya, in the throat of the person. But one thing is, we already know to exclude an ift that's trefa. So what would this pasuk, by the exclusion of kol tzipur tahira, which is excluding something, which we want to say it's actually no only kosher because tzipur is only kosher types, but there's something prohibited with it. What? It can't be excluding treifa. We have a pasuk that already says that. And v'ibeshchudu de mitzayra. And if you, again, we're trying to find what would be a case of a kosher species that would be forbidden. So if you think it's talking about there's two birds that the mitzayra would bring in this purification process, one would be sent away, which we're going to elaborate on later on, and one was slaughtered. Like the pasuk says, v'shacharas tzipur achas, one of the two would be slaughtered. Now the Gemara Nabai Dezar in Kedushin says that one that's slaughtered is prohibited to have benefit from it. So you see a kosher species, because it's brought from a kosher bird, but it's still prohibited to have benefit from it. And maybe you're going to say, oh, that's what the pasuk is saying, called tzipur tahira. No, tzipur is only kosher species, but there is a kosher species that's forbidden, which is the slaughtered bird of the Mitzayra. And that says the Gemara, but Masefa the Karnafka, the end of this pasuk, which is actually the next pasuk, from there is where we learn that precluding the eif of the shchuta the mitzara, because the pasuk says v'zeh shaloi toichlu mehem. This is what you should not eat from them. Now that word mehem is superfluous. What do you mean mehem from them? It's going back on the pasuk before, which was talking about kol tzipur tahira teichelu, all the kosher birds you could eat, and that's what's saying mehem from them. From what we said in the previous pasuk from the tahirim, that there is something else that you cannot eat, which is l'rabish shchuta mitzara. That's coming to include the slaughtered bird of the mitzara. Because in contrast, the other bird that's sent away, the Torah is not going to tell you to send it away to make a stumbling block for others who are going to capture that bird and going to eat it, which the birds, if it's forbidden, can't be the one that you're sending away. Rather, that one must be permitted, but the one that's forbidden is the one that the shchuta, the mitzvah. So you see that already from this pasuk. So again, we're back to the question. What's called tzipur tahira coming to exclude? Can't be treif, we have a pasuk. Can't be talmi shchuta, the mitzvah, we have a pasuk. So then it sounds like it's excluding the non-kosher birds, but then you see that in the word tzipur includes non-kosher birds, not like a b'yitzchak. So it's going to be no. La'ilam b'shchudu d'mitzayra. Truthfully, kol tzipur tahira is coming to say that there's going to be a type of a kosher bird that's going to be excluded, which is the slaughtered bird of the mitzayra. But don't we really have a pasuk? So it's going to be, yeah, v'lav ralev ba'asei. First of all, we want that the person should violate a positive commandment, where the pasuk is saying, all kosher birds you should eat, which is saying, but not that which is forbidden. But it is a tzipur, which is a kosher species. For example, the slaughtered one of the birds of the mitzayra. And the reason is because a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment has the status as a positive commandment. Ubalaisa say, yeah, and you have that other pasuk that we're including for Zasha Loi Techlem, which is telling you that's a negative prohibition. So yeah, it's you have a loisa say and not say. So it's not a difficulty, it's just referring to the positive component. That's what says the Gemara. So okay, so you're able to resolve the question, but why did you prefer to say that the inferential positive commandment of when it says in the pasuk called Tzipor Tehara Techelu, which you're saying that's referring to the violating the positive commandment of not eating the shchuta of the mitzvah, why do you say that better than the other option the Gemara had regarding that of treifa? Says Gemara, v'lukma v'treifa. Say that it's referring to a bird with a mortal defect. V'lavar lev basi v'loisa say. And there also you could say that, oh, you have a pasuk, but that's the loisa say, and this would be the assay. Why did you pick the one of shchuta mitzvah? Says Gemara, because davar halama minyanai. Because it's something that's learned out from the context, which that's one of the 13 attributes that the Torah is expounded. When you have an unspecified pasuk, we don't know what it's talking about, so you learn it out from the context of what it's talking about. And the pasuk is talking about in the context of the birds that are slaughtered. Because when it says in that pasuk, what do you mean? You could only eat a bird that's kosher, that's slaughtered. And that is what's saying, this is what you should not eat, which is from those that are slaughtered. And therefore, since the context is talking about slaughtered, therefore we'd rather include also the shchuta d'mitzayra for, like we see from the next pasuk, which is the leisa say, and then from the previous pasuk with the asay, and not to include that of a treifa, which is not something that is a slaughtered thing. In contrast over here, where this is something that is a slaughtered mitzayra, and that's what's prohibited. So the Gemara continues asking on the halacha of Yitzchak from the previous staff. Toshima, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Vayikra. The pasuk says that the Kohen commands and he takes for the Mitzayra who is being purified, Shtei Tziparim Chayis, two living birds that are Tahiris and other elements that are used in the purification of the Mitzayra. Now, says the Gemara, Mai Chayis, what does it mean when it says these are two living birds? Lav Shechayis Beficha, isn't it that it's alive in your mouth, meaning that it's fit to be put into your mouth to be eaten because they're Tahiris, because they're kosher birds. Now, from the fact that it says Tziparis Chayis, that these are tzipiris that are permitted in your mouth. Now, the inference is that there obviously are those that are called tziparim, and the Girsa puts in the dalad, the lav shechayis beficha, that are not alive in your mouth, meaning that they're not permitted to be put in your mouth because they're tameis, because they're non-kosher. So you see the word tzipar includes non-kosher birds, not like the way Rabbi Yitzchak had explained for the halacha of our Mishnah of Shiluach HaKein. Says Gemara, no. My chayis was the pasuk here when it means to say two tzipiris, two birds that are chayis. It means shechai in Rashi Yevarm Shalom. It means that it's the tips of its limbs are alive, meaning that the halacha requires for the two birds of the mitzayra that they are intact, and which is excluding if it's mechusaris aver, if it's missing part of the limb, then that's what's being excluded, but nothing to do with that it's permitted to be eaten or not. And tzipur, because tzipur only means kosher, we don't have to say that it's a kosher type of tzipur. But the Gemara says Toshma Meseifa. But let's bring a proof from the end of the next word in that pasuk. It says two live birds that are tahiris. Now, machlal de katameis, the inference is that there are non-kosher types that are included in the word tzipor. So the Gemara, no. Machlal de ikan is similar to how the Gemara had said before, that there are those that are forbidden, which are treifas, which are have a mortal defect. And the pasuk is excluded to say that a treif of bird will not be valid for the tahara of the mitzayra, which that is a chiddush, because although these mitzayras, these two birds of the mitzayra are done in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not karbanas, because actually they're slaughtered even out of the machane, even out of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, in the klicheres, in the earthenware vessel. And that's a chiddush, therefore you would think maybe a treif animal would be good. And therefore we're saying that that's what we're excluding from the halach of tahiris, that there are some that are not. Again, they're a kosher species, it's a zebra, but they're forbidden, which is treifas, that's what's being excluded. Says Gemara, treifas, mechayas nafka. Says Gemara, but you, don't tell me you're excluding treifas from the word tahiris. You exclude treifas from the other word, which we said that chayas, that it's alive, because a treifa is an animal that is a creature that doesn't live. So I already know you can't use a treifa because it's not chayas. It's not going to survive. Now the Gemara says, "Hanichab." Okay, we could understand that this day you would require a different pasuk, that of tahiris, to exclude treifa, and not from the word chayis. Leman dama treifa chaya, which that's a machlekes we've mentioned previously, that there are those who hold that a creature with a moral defect could survive. So good, so you're not excluding from Chayis, and therefore you'd have to exclude it from Tyrus. But Elamandum, Atrefa, Enachai, Maikalamem, according to the one who holds that they don't survive, you already know it to exclude it from Chayis. What would you need this word Tyrus to exclude if you tell me it's not excluding a non kosher type of a bird? Void Morba says the Gemara, Bein Lamandum, Atrefa, Chay, Bein Lamandum, Enachai, it's actually difficult according to both opinions whether you hold that the Trefa bird could survive or not. But when the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Nafker, you already learn now from a binyan av, as is taught in the Brisa of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, to exclude that of a trefa, and you're not learning it out from the word tahira. Because the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel says the following comparison. He says, Nemer Machshir talks about something that is a preparatory thing. It's something that is a permitter inside the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the ashram that a mitzvah brings, or the karbanas chatas that of what's called mechusri kapar, that they're lacking atonement in the sense of being permitted to go ahead and partake of kachim, like a woman that's a zava or that she was a yeledah, she gave birth to a child. When they bring those karbanas, they're not atonement. They're just to permit them either to come into to more kachim type of iri or partake of kachim. And also umachabe bifnim. Then there are also certain karbanas that are also done in the Beis HaMikdash that are atonements, like all the karbanas chatzos and ashim that are birthed for people's sins. Now, so too, the Nema Machshir, there's also permitters that are done out of the Beis HaMikdash, like the birds of the Mitzayra, which they're not an atonement, they're just to purify the Mitzayra and to permit him into holy areas. And Umechabe Pachutz, there's also atonements that are done out of the Beis HaMikdash, specifically the Sar Meshtalech, which on Yom Kippur, one of the he-goats are thrown off a cliff, and that atones for the sins of Jewish people. That's not done in the Beis HaMikdash. So we make the following comparison. Just like those kabbanis that are permitters and are atoners that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, those kabbanis that are permitters, we compare them and they're the same as those that atone, because all types of qualifiers and purification process are done by both. Because even those kabbanis that are just machshirim, their sacrificial parts are also sacrificed. We treat it the same. So af machshir mechapo ama b'chutz. Then the same thing is by those are permitters and those that are atoners that are done outside. Also by machshir, they're also going to make those that are permitters, which are these birds of the mitzayra, kimachaper like the karbanis that are atoners, which is that of the sar mishtalech, which just like the sar mishtalech is a problem to be with a blemish, meaning it can't be a treifa. Why? Because it has to be fit. Had it been the carbon Lashem, because there's two se'irim which are identical. One is thrown off the cliff, one is brought as a carbon, and his blood brought into the kachet kachim, because since it's done by lottery, each one has to be fit that it can be brought as a carbon on the Mizbech, which is not valid if it's a trefa. So we compare the machshir, that of the two birds of the Mitzayra, to the machaper, that of the Sar Lazazel, that just like over there can't be trefa, so over here can't be trefa. So according to everyone, we already know it can't be trefa from this following binyanav. So then we go back to the question, what is the word tahir coming to exclude if it's not excluding a non-kosher bird? It's Elam Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak. Rather, he says, this word tahir in the pasuk is not to refute Rabbi Yitzchak. It's not excluding a non-kosher bird, because it's already not included because the word tzipor is only kosher. It's lemuti tzipori iranidachas. It's excluding the tzipori, the birds, of iranidachas, which is a city that the majority of the inhabitants had committed idolatry, which the whole city gets wiped out. They kill them out. Such a city, also all its possessions, also have to be liquidated. And that's what Tumah, those types of birds, is what we're saying, cannot be used in the procedure of the two birds for the mitzvah in the purification process. So that says the Gemara Lamai. For which one of these birds, which we said one is slaughtered, one is sent away, did we need from the pasuk to tell you you can't use the bird of the iranidachas? Ilishiluach, if it's for the one that's sent away, obviously the bird from iranidachas cannot be the one bird that's sent away. Because lo emer Torah shalech letakal, the Torah is not going to tell you to send away a bird that's going to be a stumbling block for others, because the monies, the possessions of the Iran Nidachas is forbidden to have any benefit. And if you're going to send it away, someone else is going to go ahead and capture that bird and use it at a later point in time, and that's going to be a stumbling block because that's something that's prohibited. Selah, this says the Gemara, l'shchita. The Torah had to tell you can't use it for the one that's slaughtered. Meaning, even the one that's slaughtered, no one's going to eat it, because you could burn it like all the other possessions of the Iron Nidachas after it's slaughtered, and therefore it wouldn't cause people to have benefit from the Iron Nidachas. In spite of that, that's what the pasuk is going to tell you, Tahira, that it's only that which is okay, not something that's forbidden, which is from the birds of the Iron Nidachas. Rav Amay gives a different interpretation, again, to explain what Tahiris is coming to exclude, again, not to be refutation on Rabbi Yitzchak, as if it's excluding that of a non-kosher bird. He says, L'mut, it's coming to exclude, Shloi l'zavig lo acheres koidim shilucheha. Again, this is in the halachas of the two birds of the Mitzayra. So when it says Tahiris is coming to exclude that you can't pair it up with another one before that bird that's sent away, that is, if let's say there's another Mitzayra that comes into the Beis HaMikdash, after the previous Mitzrayim had already purified himself, and they already had his one, that one bird that slaughtered, and the blood was thrown. So the Kohen can't say to the other one, he says, hey, we're about to send away this bird anyway, so go ahead, jump on in, you bring one bird, slaughter it, and then we'll send away this bird, and we'll be good for both of you. They have to send away a bird. That's what the Pasuk is saying. No, Tahiris, which the inference is that are those that are forbidden, what is that? The leftover of that first Mitzrayim. You can't have the second Mitzrayim use that same bird. So it says, Lamai. For what would it you say that he wants to use from the bird of the first one? Ilashchita, if it's for the slaughtering of the second Mitzrayim, that you want, like the leftover bird that the first one is supposed to send away. He says, hey, don't send it away. We'll use it for this second Mitzrayim, for the one that he has to slaughter. Says the Gemara, but you can't. You need to send it away because of the first Mitzrayim. Obviously, that would be problematic. Ella rather, says the Gemara, rather for sending away. Because you would have thought to say, okay, sending it away anyway, let it kill two birds with one stone, which will kill one bird with two stones, send it away, and then you'll accomplish it for both. And that's what it's saying, that no, Tahir is saying, there's limitations over here. You can't use that bird from the first one. That's what it's coming to exclude. You wouldn't be able to use it with the second one. A third interpretation of Papam, he says that the Tahiris is coming to exclude Litzipayrim to birds, Shechlifu, that were exchanged and swapped. And the Girsa here just takes the base and takes out the word Tzipayri, Be'avayda Zara. That is, he had swapped. He had taken from a non-Jew for the money of the value of an idol that he had sold to the non-Jew, in change of the idol that he gave to the non-Jew gave him these tzipayim, these birds. Oh, that's what's being excluded from being used in the service of the two birds that are necessary for the Taras Mitzrayim. Because the Pasuk says in the Varm, V'yisachem kamayhu, talks about idolatry, says it'll be an abomination like it, meaning, kamashatamahayehemenu, which is V'yisah, whatever it is that you make from it, kamayu will be just like the idol. So that's what's saying, that those birds cannot be used. So that says the Gemara Lamai. For what exactly would it that you would want to use it for, that the pus is coming to forbid it? Ilishuluach, if you think it's for the bird that he wants to send away, obviously that's problematic, because like we said before, Lo'im Ritarish Shalech Letakala. Torah doesn't tell you to send away something that would be a stumbling block. This has the prohibited element of Avodah Zarah in these birds which were exchanged with idolatry. Obviously you can't send it away. Elishchit, rather, says the Gemara, according to this interpretation, it's referring to the one that's slaughtered. You would think, okay, you slaughtered and you're done with it. No, that's a saying, Visachem Kamayu, you can't use it. That's what learning from Tahir is excluding from using that bird for the one that's slaughtered. Fourth interpretation, Ravinam, he says, Hacham Eiskin, what are we talking about over here? Ba'if Shaharagas and Nefesh, what are we excluding? A bird that killed the person. Says the Gemara, Haikhidam, what's the case? Id Gemar Dina, if was already the verdict was handed down that this bird had killed the person, well, Barker Talahu. So that means to say that this bird has to be killed. And it's obviously that it's not fit neither for sending away or for slaughtering because it actually has to be stoned. Elukaydin Gmaradina, rather says the Gemara, it's talking about before the verdict was handed down. It says the Gemara Lamai. So for what utility would you want this bird? Ilashiluach, if you would want to use it for the one that's sent away, you can't. But Ilasuila Beidina, you have to bring it to court. Vikiyumi Varta Aramikebecha, you have to fulfill the halacha of, you have to liquidate all the evil that's within your midst, which is to go ahead and prosecute this bird. El rather says the Gemara, l'shchita. Because if you would think that it's a problem because of Artara Mekebecha, that's not a problem because when you're slaughtering it, you're also getting rid of it. So therefore, you would have thought that you could use this bird that killed a person before the verdict was handed down as the one of the Shchuta. That's what this interpretation is saying. That's what Tahira comes to exclude and say, no, you can't use this bird that had killed a person. And therefore, those are interpretations that it shouldn't be difficult. On Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that Tzipa refers to only kosher birds, we didn't refute his interpretation, and that's what stands to explain the halacha of a Mishnah, that if it's a non-kosher bird, there's no obligation of Shiluach HaKein. Now, the Mishnah then continued and said that Eif Tami Ravitz Abei Eif Tahar, where it said if either one, the mother or the child, is non-kosher species, is exempt. Which the first one that spoke about is if the non-kosher bird that's laying on the eggs of a kosher species, one is exempt. So the Gemara asks, Bishlema if Tami Ravitz al Bay Tahar. We understand if the mother bird is a non-kosher species, laying and crouching on the eggs of a kosher species, that we're exempt from Shiloh HaChakim, because like we just finished explaining, being a tzipor b'leka, you need that the mother should be a tzipor, which they said is only kosher species, and you don't have that. But the other case that then the Mishnah says that Oif Tahar Ravitz al Bay Oif Tameh, if the mother bird is kosher, and but the eggs that it's laying on is that of a non-kosher species, that you're exempt from shiluach. Why? Hatziperhu? The mother bird is a tzipor, and there should be an obligation of sending it away before taking the eggs. Says the Gemara, Kedam Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana had said, which we're going to shortly explain where he says it, the Pasuk says, send away the mother, and the sons, the children, the eggs, tikach locha, you could take for yourself. Which says, v'loy l'klavecha, but it's only if what you could take for yourself that's permitted to be eaten, but not something that you're taking for the dogs. It's only something you're taking for yourself, which is kosher, to be eaten and not for the dogs. And since here the eggs are non-kosher eggs, therefore there's no obligation of shiluach hakin. Says Gemara, and behechet med Rav Kahana, where was Rav Kahana's halacha said? Ahad etanya on the following braisa. The braisa says, aim, if the mother of the chicks, our trefe, has a mortal defect, still chayv b'shiluach, that wouldn't exempt, there's still an obligation of sending away the mother. Efreichim trefes, but if the chicks are trefe, then patim b'shiluach, then they're exempt from sending away the mother, there's no obligation of shiluach hakin. On that, the question was, where do we know this from, this last halacha, that if the chicks are trefe, that one is exempt? Not a Rav Kahana, because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, tikach lach, you should take for yourself, v'loy l'klavecha, but not if you're taking for your dogs. I mean, if it's a trefe that you can't eat, there's no obligation of shiluach hakin. Now, the Gemara asks, taking out the hay from this next word, v'lakish im trefe l'afrechim, but then we should compare, which the Pasuk there is saying these two elements of the mother and the chicks, and then we're comparing in the same Pasuk, we should compare the mother to the chicks themselves, to say that ma freichim treif is patim mishaluach, just like we just explained that the chicks that are treif is exempt from sending away. So af im treif and amim patim mishaluach. So then, if the mother is a treif, she'll also be exempt from sending away. Why are we saying that if the mother is treif, we would still be obligated? So it's more continuous tamid beis, but that im kain, if that would be the case, that you're comparing the mother to this halacha too from tikach loch, that something that you could take for yourself and not for the dogs, so you're excluding the mother just like the chicks. But if that's the case, then you would be excluding, obviously, also a non-kosher species of the mother. Because if even trefa, you can't, there's no obligation. So for sure, the mother is non-kosher, which for sure is not tikach loch, for sure is excluded. But then, this that we said, that from the word tzipor is where we know it exclude if the mother is a non-kosher bird, what would I need that for? If even trefa from kosher is not good, for sure non-kosher is for sure not tikach loch. So obviously, from the fact that we need tzipor to exclude the non-kosher bird, that's only when it's non-kosher. But if it's kosher, albeit trefa, that there would still be an obligation of shiluach hakin. But that is the Gemara of Tanya in the Braisa that seems to contradict this halacha. The Braisa says, eim efreichin trefa, the mother of the chicks trefa, is chayv b'shiluach, is obligated to send away. Meaning, the Gemara assumes to read this Braisa that's talking about that if the mother of the chicks, that aim, the mother, comma, of a freichin trefa, of the chicks that are trefa, and the mother's kasher, that chayv b'shiluach, one has to send them away. And you see, you don't expound tikach loch v'loy l'klavech. You see, even though the chicks are treif, there's still obligation of shiluach. Am Abayi says, no, hachik, this is the way you have to read it. Not the comma after the word aim. Efroyach she'iman treifa, chicks that the mother's treifa. So it's aim efroychen treifa. The mother of the chicks is treifa, chay b'shiluach, still you have to send away. That's exactly like we said. Even if the mother's treifa, as long as the chicks are not treifa, there would still be an obligation of shiluach hakin. Now, continuing on these halachas and relating back to the previous concept, by Rav Hayishia, asked the following question. Hayishid yadir l'kein, if a person goes and sticks his hand into the nest, and v'shachat mi'et simanim, he sticks his hands under the mother, who's sitting there on the chicks, and he starts slaughtering those chicks, cutting part of the pipes in the neck of the bird. Ma, what's halacha? At this point, right now, would there be an obligation of sending away the mother or not? So the Gemara explains. Do we say that as long as he didn't finish yet cutting the pipes, so kiven de'ilus shavak lehu mitrafi, if he would leave it as is right now, he didn't yet do a slaughtering, but he already cut the animal, he created a mortal defect, so it would be a trefa, and be'inan lecha v'loy leklavecha, and we said that the obligation of shiluach is only when it's for you and not for your dogs, So then he actually would be exempt from Shiluach HaKein, because it's a trefer right now, if he just leaves it as is, and that wouldn't be Lucha. So therefore, there's no obligation to send away the mother. He could take the mother, and then doesn't have to send it away, and then finish off the Shechita. Or maybe no. Since he could right now finish off the slaughtering, so we could still call it taking it for yourself, because it doesn't have to be treif, it could be permitted. So he still has to send away the mother. So Zigmar, take a let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha is in this case. Now, continuing on the general topic of this halacha of our mission of Shiluach HaKein, Birmiya had the following question. Matlas, if there's a cloth that's spread out on the eggs, and the mother's laying on that cloth, what's the halacha? Is that cloth a chatzitza into position that, okay, so the mother's not on the chicks, because it's on the kerchief, it's on the cloth. So there wouldn't be an obligation of sending away the mother, because it's not revetzis. Or no, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. Similar question. If there's detached feathers that's on the chicks, and the mother's on those feathers, is that a chatzitza? So to bayim muzaris, if there's unfertilized eggs, which no chick would come out of that egg, as the Mishnah will say that actually such a case, there's no obligation of Shiluach HaKein, Mao, what's the halacha? Is that a chatzitza between the mother and the viable chicks that are beneath it or eggs? And if you're going to say that, okay, bay muzaris are chaitzis because they're not considered an element of shiluach at all, because there's no halach of shiluach on those types of unfertilized eggs. But what's if shnei sidre bayim? What's if, let's say, there's two rows of eggs, of viable eggs, that chicks could come out of? That's zu agav zu mahu, that's one on top of the other. What's the halacha if his intention is to take the lower row of eggs? Are the middle row of eggs a chatzitza and exempting him from shiluach because the mother's not on those eggs or not? Similarly, zachar agav beim. What's if, let's say, there's a male, the father's on the eggs? Now, by a father, there's no obligation of shiluach, as the Gemara tells us later on, that the male, that there everyone agrees that one is exempt from sending him away because the pasuk says, aim, the mother. Now, although, as we had in the Mishnah, as we'll shortly quote, by the kairi bird, there actually Reb Leza holds that even though it's a male, there's an obligation of sending him away. That's for a different reason, because we have a gzer shav of the giru, which tells us that there is an obligation. But in general, a zachar doesn't have an obligation of shiluach. So the male bird's on the eggs, and ben kev al gabi zachar, mahu. And then the female, the mother, is on the father who's on the eggs. What would halacha be over there? Is that a chatzitz or not? Take a letter stand. It's not clear what halacha is in these cases. Bezer had the following question. Yoina al beye tassel. If there's a dove on the eggs of a tassel is a kosher bird and similar to a yoina. Ma, what's the halacha? Is there an obligation of shiluach there or not? So to tassel al beye yoina, ma, the opposite. If the tassel bird's on the eggs of the yoina, what's the halacha? So Mabai says, Tashema, it's being arrived from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if tami ravitz al bay oiftar. If let's say the mother bird is not kosher, that's on the eggs of on kosher eggs, or the opposite, v'tar ravitz al bay oiftami, or there's a kosher bird on non-kosher eggs. So then we say, ah, pata mishaluach, you're exempt from sending away. The mother has to be kosher, it's a tzipur, the eggs have to be kosher, it's a tikach lach. Now, but the inference is, hatar v'tar chayim. But if the eggs are kosher and the mother's kosher, no matter what type, even if it's different types, one's a yoina, one's a tassel, then there would be an obligation. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a proof, because Dilma, maybe this that we said, which is inferred, that if the mother and the eggs are both kosher, even though seemingly they're different types, that then there's an obligation, maybe that's by Kaira, maybe that's by this bird called Kaira, in the female Kaira, where that's normal by the Kaira bird, and there actually, everyone agrees by the female Kaira, even if the eggs are not its own, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, since it's normal for it to sit on any types of eggs, so that would qualify for Ve'im Revetzes, that the mother, even though it's not the literal biological mother, but it's like that type of maternal type of bird, which will sit on any types of eggs, and if it will qualify for Ve'im Revetzes. Now, that's what we're saying, that even such a bird, if it's going to be sitting on non-kosher eggs, it's going to be exempt, because it says, Tikech lech v'loy l'klavecha. But in truth, really regarding any other bird besides the Dekaira, then we know that we say that that's not significant, and there we could say that actually would not be obligated in Shiluach, even if the mother is kosher and the eggs are kosher. Now, as we said, the Mishnah talks about, uniquely, the Kairi Zachar, the male Kairi bird. Now, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev says there's an obligation of sending away that male Kairi from on top of the eggs. However, to say that there's an exemption. Now, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's an obligation of sending it away, even though it's not even that Kairi male bird's eggs itself, But since it's normal for the Kari family to do that, to sit on other types of eggs, so therefore that would qualify for Emre Vetzes. Now, Rashi says that this Kari bird is a kosher bird, not that one which is called cuckoo. And as we mentioned before, this machlokes in our Mishnah is specifically talking about the Kari Zachar, the male Kari, but not the female Kari, because as the Gemara will explain, even there the Rabban agree, and the Gemara will explain what's the reason for Beliezer that he holds even if it's a male, will also be obligated in the halacha of Shiluach HaKein. So says the Gemara, qualifies, Amr Bavo, he says, my time in Beliezer, what's the reason for Beliezer that a male bird is going to be obligated in the halacha of Shiluach HaKein? So it says, because Asi degir, but Gzera Shavu with the word degir, which means gathering. Ksiv Hach, it says over here in the Pasuk in Yirmi, it says, Kairi, referring to this bird we're talking about, that's Dagger that gathers in even those eggs that below Yalad, that it didn't give birth to. As we said, that's unique about this type of bird, Kairi, that'll sit on any eggs. Uksiv Hasim, it says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Uvaka, and it hatched, the Dagger and it gathered together, Betzila, in its shade, which is what we see from here is that we're comparing that just like Degira in this pasuk we just quoted is a bona fide Degira because this pasuk is talking about a mother and its own child that's in its own species, which obviously that's the halacha of Shiluach HaKein. So too over here when it talks about Degira by the Kari bird is also that it was also going to qualify for the halacha of Shiluach HaKein. And therefore, even if it's the male bird, the Gira is of the Kari bird is unique, that it, even when it's not its own child, it will still be obligated in the halacha of Shiluach HaKein. Now, Amr Balazi qualifies, as we mentioned this idea before, he says, Machlekes b'kari zachar. Machlekes in our Mishnah, the dispute is only by the male Kari bird. A b'kari nekeva, but by the female Kari bird, even if it's sitting and not its own eggs, even the Chacham would agree that there's going to be an obligation of sending away the mother bird, because that is considered ha'em, the mother, since that's normal for this Kari bird to do with all types of eggs. So says Gemara Peshitta, well, what do we need Rabbi Elazar for? It's obvious, Kari Zachat Nan. We learned explicitly in the Mishnah there, Machlik is regarding the male Kari, which obviously the inference is, but the female, okay, that's more ha'em, that obviously there we're saying the Chacham agree over there. Says Gemara, no. Now, what would you say that Rabbanon afel a Kari in the cave of Patri? No, that they held that it's not its own eggs, and even the Kari female bird would actually be exempt from Shiluach. V'adik Tani Zach, so why is it mentioned regarding the male one? That's Lohaydiyacha Kechad Rabbi Eliezer. That was only saying the strength of Rabbi Eliezer, his disputant, who says even by the male bird that there's an obligation. But by the female, we could say even over there, the Rabbanon hold you're exempt. Kamash Malan, that's Rabbi Eliezer coming to say that no, that actually the Chacham agree by the Kari in the cave that there is an obligation of Shiluach HaKein. Moreover, Amr Balaz, another qualification he says, is Machlekes b'kari zachar. The whole Machlekes is only by the male Kari bird. But by regular male bird, the Ve'a Kol Pater, there even Rebbe Eliezer, everyone agrees that there's going to be an exemption because the Pasuk says, Vo'im Revetzes, the mother is sitting and not the father. It's only by the Kari bird that Rebbe Eliezer holds that you can be chayv, like we said before, because it says Degira Degira, which says that the Kari bird is unique, which he holds it doesn't make a difference whether female or male. But by regular bird, of course, he holds it's only the female, not the male. So and that says the Gemara Peshitta, what do we need Rebbe Eliezer for? Obvious. Kari Zachat. Now the Mishnah said explicitly that the Machlekes was only regarding the male Kari bird. Obviously, it's not talking about in general by male birds. Says the Gemara here, the inverse of what we said before. No, Mao de Temu, what would you say that Rebbe Eliezer, Afel Zachat Dam Mechayev? No, he holds it's not specifically the mother. That's the common theme. But really, it would be even by all male birds would be obligated. V'haydi Tani Kari Zachat, so why did Mishnah speak about specifically the male Kari bird? Just like the Yachat Kechad Rabbanon. That was only to say the strength of the Rabbanon that they were saying that the male bird is exempt even by the Kari, because there the Kari, unless it's female, even though it says Degir Degira, the Rabbanon held that no, even so, you need it to be aim. It has to be a male and not a has to be female, not a male. So I would have thought that's only coming to say the strength of the Rabbanon hold that even there they're going to be exempt. But Rabbi Eliezer hold you're going to be chayiv even by any male bird. Kamash Malan, that's what you need, Rabbi Eliezer, to tell you that no, even the one that's being mechayiv is going to Rabbi Eliezer would hold it specifically by the Kari Zachar, not by any Zachar. And says the Gemara, Tanim Halchas Simon in the Brisa, Zachar the Alma Pot, everyone agrees a general male bird is exempt from Shiluach HaKein. Kairi Zachar, the male Kairi bird, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayiv holds you're going to be obligated if a Chum Paim, they hold that there you're going to be exempt. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak of our previous Mishnah regarding the Halach of Shiluach HaKein when the mother bird's on the eggs or the chicks, there's an obligation of sending away the bird. But it says the Mishnah, if the bird was hovering, it was flying on top of the eggs. So bismanchik in the fair noigis pekan, if the wings are touching the nest, then chayiv l'shaleich, it's still considered on the eggs, and there's going to be an obligation of sending away the mother. But in kenefeh nogis pekam. But if the wings are not touching the nest, then patur mishalech. The nest not considered im revetzes. It's not considered sitting on the eggs, and then one is exempt from sitting with the mother. Now says the Mishnah, ein sham ele afroyach echad oy be'a achas. Even if there's only one chick or one egg in that nest, chayv l'shalech, there would still be an obligation of sending away the mother. And that's a chiddush because the wording in the pasuk is actually in its plurality, which is afreichim and beyim. Still says the Mishnah shenema ken, because it says a nest ken mekom makom, which sounds like whatever the nest is, even if there's only one egg or one chick. Now says the Mishnah hayisham afreichim afreichim. Let's say there were large birds there in the nest which could fly, oy beyim muzaris, or are unfertilized eggs. Then patim l'shalech. Then one is exempt from sending them away. Why? Because the pasuk says two types of cases. It says ve'im revetz, is the mother is sitting ala freichim oy ala beim, on the chicks or on the eggs. Now we compare the two. Ma freichim b'nei kayama, just like chicks are viable, af beim b'nei kayama. So the eggs have to be viable, and unfertilized eggs are not viable, will never turn into a chick. So therefore yatsim mizaris, that's excluding the unfertilized eggs. And so to the other way, just like the eggs need the mother, because that's how they hatch, so to the chicks have to be that they need the mother, that excludes those birds that could fly, don't need the mother anymore, that would not either qualify for the halacha of Shiloh HaKen. The Gemara explains the opening halacha of a Mishnah, Tarnabon, Gwinda Braisa, it says, Revetzis, the mother is laying on the eggs, which is V'loi Moifefes, but not if it's flying on the eggs, then there wouldn't be an obligation of Shiloh. Says the Braisa, Yochel afilu kenefeh noigis bekenzi. You would think if it's flying, even if the wings are touching the nest, that since it's not sitting, one would still be exempt from shiloach. Tamalem revetzes, that's what it says, revetzes. So the Gemara says, my Tamud, what do you learn from that? Where do you see from there that it's obligated if it's flying, if the wings are touching, it's still not sitting? Says the Gemara, medeloik sev yeshevis. From the fact that it didn't say the simple word of sitting, why does it say revetzes? To say that it's like crouching on it, meaning as long as it's touching, its wing is touching, that's already revetzes, because it had to literally be sitting, where it said yeshevis, that's what we know it includes, like the halacha of a mishnah, if the wing is touching, it would still be obligated. Now, Amar Yehudim Rabbi says, Hoysi yeshevis bein shnei roiv de'ilam, says, if the mother was sitting between two different branches of the tree, and the nest, the eggs, are beneath it, but it's on a higher level, this bird, it has two branches that are close near each other. So basically the mother is suspended in air, but the mother is sitting, and it's on the eggs. So says Rabbi Yehuda as follows. So Rayim, we see as follows. Call anywhere where, if we would push the branches away, she'im teshamit, that if she would get dislodged, this mother, naifelis, the mother would fall down, aleihem would fall straight down, would fall on the eggs, then chayiv l'shaleich. That's considered the imrevetzes ala banim, and therefore you would have to send her away. But if let's say she would fall down, she would fall on the sides of them, then pata, then one is exempt in that situation of shiloh hakim. Now, Meisvei, however, they asked from the following brisa on this teaching of Rehuda Merav. The brisa says, "Haysi yeshevis beinein." If the mother was sitting between the eggs, meaning it's sitting in the nest, one egg on the side and one egg on the other side, so pata mishalech, so you're exempt from sending away. It's not the mother's not sitting on them; it's sitting between them. Al gabein, but if it's on top of them, chayv l'shalech, then you have to send her away. Continues the Braisa. Haysim ufefes, if the mother was flying, afilu kenefeh noigis bekein, even if the wings are touching the nest, patim l'shalech. So then you're exempt from sending the mother away, which seems to contradict Allah we said before, and that of our Mishnah, which Gemara later on is going to explain. We're not talking about that it's touching on the top. Touching on the top, like our Mishnah says, one is obligated. It's actually talking about we're touching from the side, and therefore you're exempt. But the primary point the Gemara wants to ask from is from the previous halachas. My love, agabein dumi debeinahin. Isn't it obviously comparing when it says, if it says if the mother is sitting between the eggs, you're exempt. But if it's on the eggs, then you're obligated. So it seems to be comparing the cases. Now, ma beinahin dinagabahu, just like when it's saying if the mother is sitting between them, is even if it's touching them, because that would obviously be the chiddush on what it's coming to say, that you're exempt, because even though it's touching, that's not good, it has to be on top of them. So then, afagabeyan, the inference would be telling us that so too, when it's on top of the eggs, when it's saying that then you're going to be obligated, is dinagabahu, oh, it's only because it's touching. Avarev di ilam pater, but if it's on top of the branches, even though it's sitting and it's on top, but it's not touching the eggs, then you're going to be exempt. That's not like Ravid Merav. Now, Rashi points out that, why didn't the Gemara ask from the halacha of our Mishnah, which obviously required, like the case of hovering, that if it's on top, that it has to be touching. So that's already not like a Rav. That says Rashi, no, because our Mishnah is talking about when it's mufefes, when it's flying. But it could be, Rav Yehuda Merav's halacha would be true when it's between these two branches of the tree, that at least is qualifying for revetzes. It's sitting, and it's al habanim, it's just not touching. So from our Mishnah, it's not difficult, but the Bryce's inference seems to indicate that the contrast between it, al-gabayin, and beinayin, is beinayin is exempt even if it's touching, so when they're saying al-gabayin is chayv, is when it's touching. So that doesn't qualify for Yehuda Merav's case. Says Gemara, no, actually, al-gabayin domi de beinayin. Yes, we're comparing on top to between. But ma beinayin de loy nagu alayu, as we're going to shortly explain, that just like between, it's not touching from on top, so therefore that's considered not touching. So al-gabayin de loy nagu alayu. So then you're right. So too, when it's on top, is even if it's not touching from on top, because then it's not touching. Because like we said, even if you're touching from the sides, that's not considered touching. Touching has to be from on top. And even though it's not touching on the top, says the Braisa that you're going to be obligated because it still revetzes on top of them. Oh, the Hainu Rav De'ilin. That's exactly the case. Between the branches, that you see that it actually is chayef. And says the Gemara Hachanam Estaber. Actually, it's more logical to say the way we're interpreting the Braisa to be like Rav De'ilin. Because the Isa Gedayt the Rav De'ilin Pata, if you think like you're trying to refute Rav De'ilin Merav, that if the birds on the branches, on top of the branch that the nest is on, that then one is exempt, well then at the Tani, instead of the Braisa saying the case which it was saying, Hesemufefes, that if it's flying, a filikon efen noigis beken, it said even if the wing is touching the nest, Pata Melashaleich, it's exempt. So you could have said a bigger Chiddush of exemption. Listen, Rav De'ilin, say even the case of even when it's sitting in its place, and the eggs are beneath it, because it's on the branches right on top of it, say over there that you're exempt. But kolshke mufefes, and for sure the case of when it's flying, when it's not even revetz, it's not even sitting on anything, it's flying. So then obviously, the fact that it didn't say it is because actually that case would be chayiv. Rosh Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Because mufefes is tzrichle. The case of hovering, the braisa needed as a chiddush to say that there you're going to be exempt. Because dafila can offend negis bekein potim l'shalech. Because there, that is a novelty, because actually the wings are touching the nest, which is not the case by Rabbi Yehuda Merav's case. And therefore that was necessary to say, but it could be actually even in his case also you'd be potter. We just wanted to say even if it's touching, but since it's mufefes that you're going to be exempt. But now the Gemara asks in general, the brayso we brought that said that as the case we just described, which we said, oh, that's the chiddush the brayso wants to tell us, even if the wings are touching, you're exempt. But when it's not. We learned in our Mishnah, Bizmanchik in the Fen Negis Bekein, when the wings are touching the nest, Chayav L'Shlech, you're obligated. How could the Braisa say that you're exempt? So Rabbi Yirmi says it's not difficult because Kikitani Masnita, when did the Braisa say that even if the wings are touching, you're exempt? It's been a game in Atzad, is where it's touching the side of the nest. That's not on top. That's where you can be exempt because it has to be, Revetz's Al has to be on top. And yes, if the wings are touching, that would also qualify, but if it's touching the side, then one is still going to be exempt. That was one version where we had Rav Yehuda Merav's teaching and then we used the Braisa to ask on him. Then Ikadami, the others say the opposite. That they wanted to say Lim Sayele. They said, let's support Rav Yehuda Merav, which is the flip side of the first version, to his teaching. Because the Braisa says, Yeshevis Beinein, if the mother was sitting between the eggs, Patam L'Shlech, then you're exempt from sending away. Al Gabayin, on top of the eggs, Chayav L'Shlech, then you have to send her away. And then we had the Halacha, Yisim Mufefes, it was hovering, it was flying, a filikon efen negis bekein, even if it's touching the nest, patam l'shaleach, you're exempt from sending away. But one thing says the Gemara, ma'ilav agabein demi debenein, isn't it that we're comparing on top to when it's between them? Ma benein deloy nagalayu, just when it's between them, it's not touching on top of them, it's not touching on top. We said, yeah, even it's touching, but it's not touching on top. So av agabein deloy nagalayu, then so too when it's on top of them, it's not touching on top, which therefore that's not touching. And even so, the Braisa is saying, since it's sitting, it's going to be obligated because it's still qualified for revetzes. So behind the Rav De'ilin, that's exactly Rav De'ilin's halacha of being on the branches, where if it's sitting and it's on top, even though it's not touching on top, then one's going to be obligated. So it's like, well, no, al gabein demi debeinein. Now we're comparing on top to between. Ma beinein denogu buhu, just like when it's between them, it's touching. Not touching on top, but it's touching, because if it wasn't touching, then we wouldn't have to say that. And therefore also when it's on top, it's also when it's touching. And where's it touching? On top. That's when you're going to be chayv. But if it's on the branches on top and it's not touching at all, then actually would be exempt. Well, that the Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, I think Tani's safe. And then instead of the Braisa saying at the end, if it was hovering, even if its wings are touching, you're going to be exempt. Well, as we continue to talk about Kof Memalf and Menalf, listen to Rav De'ilin. What do you mean? You could have said a bigger Chiddush. Say, even when it's on the branches on top, where that's similar at least to Revetzes, it's sitting, that say even over there you're going to be exempt. For koshkei mufafes and b'shor, if it's hovering when it's not even sitting, that for sure you're going to be exempt. The Rosh Gemara says no. Mufafes is tzach leino that we needed the maybe that case also pata. But we want to say the chiddush of when it's hovering. That for the kenef and neges beken pata l'shalech, where even if its wings are touching the nest, which is not like the case of the Ilan, that even there we said you're going to be exempt. Yes, because it's not sitting and rather because it's hovering. But that was a chiddush we had to say. But then the Gemara asks, but Vanantzanan, how do we understand this halacha as is in general? But we learned in our Mishnah, Bezman Shrek and the Fenix became Chayim L'Shlech. We say when the wing is touching this, you're obligated to send it away. How does the Rebbe say you're exempt? And then Rebbe Yehuda, like we said, he says, Kiktani, and the Gear says, Masnita, what's the case of the Bryce that says you're going to be exempt? It's been a game, and that's how when it's touching the side. Touching the side, that doesn't qualify. When it's touching on top, then it's a Ba'im Revetzes, then it's considered, as we said, it doesn't say Yeshevis, so that's going to be, even though it's a little bit hovering, but as long as it's touching, it then it's going to be Ba'im Revetzes Alabanim, and then you're going to be Chayiv, but the Bryce says you're going to be exempt. It's when the Geya Menatzad, but it's not necessarily a support. We knew Rav's case, because we could actually say that actually, no, the case of Rav the Ilan, one is going to be Pater and not Chayiv the way he describes it.